Yes, let's say amen again.
Amen.
What a joy it is to be in the house of God. It's raining on the outside. But when I look in here and I hear the songs of praises going up, we might not see the S-U-N, but we know that the S-O-N is shining and he is reigning in all of his supreme glory. I am thankful to God, first of all, for this day that he has blessed us to see. And I'm thankful to this great congregation. This congregation, as you know, is renowned in our brotherhood for the great leadership at this congregation. You are a model for many. You are a model to Greenville Avenue. And I'm just so thankful to the eldership and the deacons, and especially to your very fine minister, Brother Smith, for allowing me to participate as a helper in this endeavor to encourage our youth. Thankful to Brother Davis for inviting me to come. I've also invited him to come to Greenville. And I recognize nowadays you have to be careful about who you invite to come. Can we just be real for a moment? And I'm thankful. And it seems like the pickings are getting slim. And so I'm glad that he could come and be with us. But we're just so thankful for this opportunity. I have my youth group with me this morning. I brought my wife and my children. And so we brought our youth group down from Dallas. And my wife is sitting over to my right. Your left, the lovely Chanel Bradshaw. You know, I found me a good thing. Yes, ma'am. And yes, sir. You know, Christian education can be all right. And we went to Southwestern Christian College and matriculated there. And one of our classmates was here at one time. I don't know if she's in the audience, but Rochelle and Chanel were kind of close, and we used to name them Jesus's secretaries for their spirituality. And I'm glad I got me a spiritual woman, and I have been so blessed and appreciative of her. And this year we'll be celebrating 20 years of marriage, and we're elated about that. And we have our children. Well, we have two of them, James and Janae, who are here. Where are you all? Okay, I see y'all. Don't put your head down when daddy's, you know, look at your father and act like you're proud of your son. But my son, James, he's 13. James, raise your hand. Let folks know. All right. And then Janae, she's 16. Raise your hand, Janae, so people know. All right. And those are my children. And I know, you know, there's, you know, preacher's kids. And y'all going to tell me if something, they doing something wrong in the audience. But all right. But they play with your children. All right. And to see the Alexanders, appreciate them so very much. Clayton has traveled the globe with us, you know, and I'm just glad to see him. God is just so good. When you have friends and family members all over throughout this brotherhood. Now, I know this is Youth Revival Day. And I know, I recognize that, Brother Gary, you did an awesome job of moving those kids around. And I remember those days when, you know, the preacher used to get up and, you know, say, this is youth day. And we want all the kids in this. And I didn't like it then. So I know how you feel. I know how you feel. But it's going to be all right. Hopefully we will say something that will be of help to you. Now, I understand that we have another service at 11:15. We do the same thing at Greenville. We have an 8 o'clock. But ours is at 10:45, the second service. So which means I got a little bit more time between those services. But I'll try to be as expeditious as I can. Genesis 37. Genesis 37, to the passage of scripture that was read, verse number 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the same. When haters hate. When haters hate. The story of Joseph consumes a significant portion of Genesis. From Genesis 37 through Genesis 50, it is all about Joseph. And this would indicate that his life is vitally important. There's more information on the life of Joseph than Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and even his own father, Jacob. He is one of the ancient patriarchs whose presence cast a sizable shadow across the color landscape of Hebrew history. And with all of his greatness, he was mistreated, deliberately victimized, unfairly offended by his brethren. He is literally the victim of a hate crime. Everything that occurred at the hands of his brothers was motivated by hate and envy. They had no desire to have any contact with him. They couldn't even speak to him peaceably. Envy was expressed in that these brothers desired to possess his gifts his position, his possessions, and his achievements. Everything about him they despised. Now, I know as I look through this text, the word hate is used three times. In verse number 4, verse number 5, verse number 8, and verse number 11, the word envy is used. This implies that there is an antagonistic relationship between Joseph and his brothers. And since Joseph is the one who is hated by his brothers, that would make his brothers a bunch of haters. I know you thought that was a new millennial term, a new millennial saying, but the hater is just as old as the Bible is. And so I want to just talk about when haters hate. Now here's a question. I know that, does anybody have any haters? And now I know we in the church, and this is worship service, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and but I thought I would ask the question, do you have any haters? And if you have some haters, those who are antagonistic towards you, those who don't want to see you do well, those when you do well, they have negative things to say about your accomplishments. If you have people like that, I just want you to know that how you can overcome your antagonists, those who despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. I just want us to look at this story and see, how do you cope with people who are negative about your progress? How do you handle the people who would rather knock you down than lift you up? How do you get through with your haters? And this story, like no other, shows us what to do and how to deal when haters hate. And I want to just look at three perspectives. I want us to, first of all, look at the reason haters hate. And I want us to look at the reaction of haters. Then I want us to consider that there are some results or benefits of being hated. See, we don't want to always see that there are benefits to your haters. But first of all, and I want to try, you told me I had, okay, I'm going to be as timely as I can. First of all, let's look at the reason why. Now, let me say this again. Let's look at the reasons why. Notice I said that there are reasons, meaning that there are many and varied reasons why haters hate. But when we look at Joseph's hate that he received from his brothers, the hatred toward him was because he was the favorite of his father. The Bible says that Israel, who is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. Now, that means that this is the favorite boy. Of all of the children that he had, the Bible says that he loved him more than they all. Now, sometimes people will hate on you and are haters toward you for reasons you have no control. See, because that was his position. He was the favorite child. And let me just pause for station identification. Parents, we got to be careful, because your children know who you like them. Come on here. Any real parents going to, you have a child that is often more amenable than the others that you tend to rely on just. And so the other children recognize you mama's favorite. And for nothing that they could control, they have become victimized by hate for something that was out of their hands. So they hated him because he was his father's favorite. And you got to understand, this family is a messed up family. Now, whenever you read your Bible, you know, Jacob, who is Israel, loved Rachel. And y'all, let's go back to Bible class. Rachel was the youngest daughter of Laban. And Jacob loved her so much that he was willing to work 7 years to have her. And when it came time to wedding day and wedding night, there was a surprise. He wanted Rachel, but in the honeymoon suite was Leah. And he was tricked by his father-in-law. And so he asked about that. And he said, well, I can't give you Rachel because the oldest got to be married first. But if you work 7 more years for me, then you can have both. So when you look at this, it's so much baby mama drama in this story. And so I just got to walk you through it because you got to understand that Jacob loved Rachel. But Leah, his other wife, could have had all of these children and Rachel couldn't have any children. And the first child that Rachel has, the one whom Jacob loved, is Joseph. And see, that's why you got to be careful about what you doing out. You got all these baby mamas and baby mama drama. Young folk, let me just tell you, find you one. Stick with that one. And you don't have to worry about baby mama drama. But because Joseph is Rachel's boy, he has an affection, an affinity for that boy. But see, Joseph could not help the position that he was in. He was born into that family. He was born into that mess. And because of something out of his control, his brothers hated him. And then they hated him because of his possessions. Watch now. He says, because he was the son, verse number 3, he made him a coat of many colors. I'm not going to be able to finish this. Now, he made a coat, a special coat, for his special boy. Come on. You know that whenever, if you're not the favorite, you recognize when the favorite get favors. And so that boy Joseph is walking around with a coat of many colors. Come on, y'all got to see this now. All of these boys are shepherds. They wear, you know, camel's skin. They in burlap saps, and here come Joseph with the coat of many colors. I know every time they saw him coming, every time they saw that coat blowing in the wind. sparkling and shining and coat all of these rainbow of flavors on his. They couldn't even look at him without hating him. Every time they saw him coming, and let me just tell you, see, you cannot help the position that you're in. Where you were born and where you came from and what kind of hair texture you, come on here, you can't help all of that. And so folk will hate on you just because of what you, your position in life, but then they also hate on you because of your possessions. See, you might not be able to afford the new KDs. So your parents got you the ones from a few years back. And you just glad to have some KDs. And you walking in to school. First day, you remember that first day you had your new shoes on and everything, and you thought you were somebody, and then somebody came to you and saw your possessions. And starts, them the ones from 3 years back. Haters. Because of, here's the thing, you don't even have a job to go out and buy you what? So they hated him because of his possessions. And then he had a gift. They hated him for his gift. His gift was that he was able to dream dreams that had meaning. And the Bible says that they hated him for his dreams and his words. See, and I had to look at it. I said, why do they hate him for his words? Did you not see that every time that Joseph was sent out as his father's spy? They would be out there working and tending, and Joseph was being sent to bring back a report. Did you not see that? Watch what it says. And his brethren saw that their father loved him. Verse number 4, could not speak peaceably. But verse number 2, when he was 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah. Now that's all this baby mama drama in that house. His father's wives, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So they hate him. Not only because he dreams big, but he always talking and telling what they're doing. You know you got that child who can bring back a report. Now, rather than going to his brothers and telling them what they did wrong, he would come back with his coat and tell his father they down there doing all kinds of stuff. So they hate him for his gifts, and perhaps you have a gift, perhaps you have a talent to sing and to speak and to preach or whatever it is. You can play sports very well, and some people see the gift that you have. And because you have this giftedness and they do not, then they will say, I can't. He think he all that. Because he can sing. Can I tell you something, brother? You are an excellent song leader. Excellent song. But you know there's going to be somebody say, you know what, he shouldn't even been all up in that mic like that. Haters! Won't give you no volume. Haters! My bad. But all I'm saying is, God has gifted you. God has given you a gift. And sometimes we teach our children how to be polite, how to be respectful. If you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. We tell them, say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. But we got to teach them that you're going to have people who hate you for no good reason. Didn't Jesus prepare his disciples? He said, the world is going to hate you. And we got to prepare our children to know and let them know that everybody and everyone you come in contact does not have your best interest. And I got to tell you this. I wouldn't be truthful if I didn't tell you that it may be some Christians in the church who will discredit and hate on you. But I want you to, I know I'm not going to be able to fix this all, but I want you to know how you deal with that. Watch the reaction of these haters. Here's the hateful people yield hateful deeds. They could not speak peaceably to him. When he came around, they couldn't look him in the eye and talk to him peaceably. They always looking off and can't even make eye contact with him because they hated him. They conspired to kill him. Verse number 19, when they saw him coming with that coat of many colors, they say, here he comes again. And they conspired to commit premeditated murder. They saw him coming and they started planning and scheming and plotting against him. I'm talking about hateful people will do hateful deeds. And as soon as they saw him coming and they began to plan their plot, verse number 23 of Genesis 37 said, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped him of that coat. He got jacked by his own brothers. That coat represented the favoritism. That coat represented his position. And when they saw him coming, they snatched that coat off of him. And then they threw him in a pit. And that's not the half of it. When they sat down, they said, first, we're not gonna kill him. I think they got a conscience then. But after they threw him in the pit and took that coat and threw him in the pit, the Bible says that they sat down and started eating lunch. Did you see? I'm talking about, there was a term we used to use in the 80s when we used to say, these are some cold-blooded cats. They were so cold. Knowing what they had in plan and intended to do, they sat down and ate lunch. Then the Bible says they sold him to strangers. I'm going to just have to, we're going to have to, you know, you got your fast, your DVD and how you fast forward through. We're going to have to fast forward through. Verse number 28 said, they sold him for 20 shekels of silver, One shekel is an equivalent to about 64 cents. So for $12.80, they sold their brother. I want to tell you that hateful people will do hateful deeds. And some of our young folk have experienced the hate through social media. But then you also will get sold out sometimes for a snicker. Sometimes for a bag of Takis. I give you these Takis. If you go over there and slap him on the back of his neck. I'm talking about hateful people will do hateful deeds. Proverbs says it like this. He says that the hatred stirs up strife. Proverbs 10 and verse number 12. But love covers all. Hatred is like a spoon that keeps stirring up mess. Just watch people who keep stirring up stuff. Hateful. Girl, you know I heard. Now, brother, you know I'm not the gossiping kind, but I just want to let you know what stirring up stuff. But he said, love covereth. So I saw love has got to be like a shovel that covers up all of my faults, all of my idiosyncrasies. So you got to be careful. And know whoever is stirring up stuff is a hater. But now I just need to show you. You all thought the feud between New Edition and Bobby Brown was something. But when you look at Joseph and his brethren, it doesn't compare. See, I got to find where I got to skip on over. I want to look at the results now. Because you got to have some haters. I want you to see now that Joseph benefited from the fact that his brothers hated him. When you go to Genesis 39 and he's in Potiphar's house, it is not the promotion. I want you to hear that. It is not the promotion that we ought to focus on. It is the devotion that we ought to focus on. The Bible says, you're just going to have to take my word for it or read it for yourself, that the Lord was with him. Everything that he did prospered because the Lord was with him. Now, when he was in that pit, it was an indication of abandonment by his brothers. But the Bible says that the Lord was with him. That lets me know that even if those who hate on you turn their backs on you, the Lord is with you. He's with you even to the point when Mrs. Potiphar. And that's another sermon in itself. I just want you to watch the theme that is consistent and the benefits that are consistent with Joseph. When Mrs. Potiphar tried to seduce Joseph, y'all, you got to read the Bible. Y'all got to read this. He said, "How can I do this evil?" And he didn't. He did point to Mr. Potiphar. But more importantly, he says, and sin in the sight of God. Now, watch now. I want you to see the God theme that keeps going through this. And I want to show you now how you handle these haters. When Joseph was thrown in the prison, it said that the Lord was with him. He didn't protest his civil rights. I know, and you can. But he didn't say, y'all put me in jail unfairly. The Lord was with him. When Pharaoh, those men in the prison had a dream and they couldn't understand what the dream was, you know what Joseph said? It's God who gives the interpretation of dreams. Now, I jump on that because he had a dream before, didn't he? But you didn't hear anything about God. See, and that's why you got to be careful about your giftedness. If your giftedness is not tempered with your connection with God, then you think you are that. Brother song leader, see, that's how you come back to it. So if they don't turn up the volume, you're all right. Because it's all about God and not me anyway. Thought I fixed that for the people back there in the back. See, but we've gotten to a point where we think our giftedness is about us. And Joseph said, no, it's God who gives the interpretation of the dream. Before, he wasn't talking about God. And that's why these brothers probably had so much problem with him, because it was all about, y'all gonna bow down to me. So sometimes we got to be careful about how we possess what we have. If you know you got a coat of many colors that everybody has a problem with, when you come to your brothers, take it off. Oh. And when his brothers, you remember they came to Egypt? Because they were hungry. They had to come back to Joseph. And Joseph said, I got you now. No, he did not. Joseph said, the first time before he even revealed himself, he said, I am one who fears God. See, I you got to read that. Genesis 42 and verse number 18. He said, I'm one who fears God. He could not take revenge because at Potiphar's house, God was with him. In the prison, God was with him. With the dreams, God was with him. So when he saw his brothers again, if he's been depending on God, God's been guiding him, how can he take revenge? And then, you know, the kicker is Genesis 50:20, where he says, in front of all those brothers, what you did, you meant evil. But God brought it so that we could save much people. Until we see ourselves as being able to save people. See, I'm getting too happy for y'all. Young people, you need to see that you are a conduit for people to come to God. And if you cannot show them, if you cannot show them, then when you talk about me, I'm going to pray for you. When you look at my shoes and they don't look right, I recognize this person needs They need some love. See, because Jesus says to do good to them that hate you. See, I know what I'm saying is true, but it's tough. It's tough. It's tough when you know you have somebody who does not like you. That if they had your phone, they would expose all your business. Sending out messages off of your name to some boy they say you like. Come on. That's what they do to our, you know, at the schoolhouse. And all I'm saying to you is that that's the time where you show God is directing you. God is guiding you. And although they might mean it for evil. Now we got to understand now that between the time that Joseph was sold and to the time that he was able to say what you meant for evil, God turned for good. Amen. I do want you to know that it's going to be a process. Yes. Every day you got to pray. Every day you got to read. You got to meditate on God's word so that your desire to get your haters turns into a desire to serve your haters. Yes, Lord. Brother Davis told me, he said, y'all got a lock-in coming up. And you know what I know about lock-ins? You may have 100 people in your youth group, but at the lock-in, you're going to have 500. I've been doing this, man. I know what I'm talking about. And you like, who are these people? Where did these folk come from? And you know what happens? All these youth will invite their friends. Come on, y'all, we going to the lock-in. I want to challenge you to invite a hater to the lock-in.
All right.
I want to challenge you to invite a hater to worship service. I want to challenge you to invite a hater to Bible class. See, it get tough. I want you to look at that hater and be able to say that this is a soul that needs to be saved. And see, you know, these old folks, they saying amen because they saying, tell them, Brother Bradshaw, tell them young folk what to do. But at your job, you may not call them haters, but you got them. You got some people who don't care whether you progress or not. Them the first ones you need to invite to church. All I want us to see is when haters hate, God is working to make you great. Now you can tweet that. When haters hate, God is working to make you great. Amen. He said, I want you to go to greater heights of service. I want you to go to greater heights of spiritual awareness. I want you to go to greater heights of evangelism. And use your haters as the platform and the stepping stone to take you to higher heights. I don't know where you stand in your relationship to God, but I do know that God loves you more than you can ever dare to love yourself. And so what he did was he sent Jesus to die for your sins. He sent him to be hated so that you could be helped. They spit on him so that you might become the righteousness of God. Oh, what love that God has bestowed upon us. And if you are not a child of God, Stop shaking your fist in the hand of a loving God. Amen. Who says in spite of you. He says in spite of you. While you are yet a sinner. Amen. I still love you. Love you enough to die on your behalf. If you're not a child of God, the greatest decision you'll ever make, young or old, is to become a child of God. Amen. What he does when you come to him is that he says, I'll eradicate, wipe away, clean the slate, make you brand new. All of those old sins, and even the ones you haven't committed, I'll take care of those too. Because his blood continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he said, I'll give you my Holy Spirit to reside in you so that when you face your haters, you'll be able to pull on somebody. And that's my spirit that says, no, don't say that. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that helps me and holds my tongue sometimes. Because I'm still a work in progress. He gives you his Holy Spirit that you might live a righteous life. And if you're a child of God and you got all of these gifts, but you've been putting them on the back burner, make a decision this morning. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to give my life. Get it right with God. God has already said, I'll take care of it, but you got to confess it. And if you confess your faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If you're here, you stand subject to invitation. Won't you come as we stand?
All my trials.
All my care.